Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome, friends, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we discuss Christian-to-Christian hot topics that help you build your faith through the nourishment of Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a politically correct cookie-cutter program, so thick skin is required. But keep an open mind, and let's have some healthy discussions, amen? I am excited to have the opportunity to speak to you and sharing the Word of God, but no matter what I share, it would always be rooted in the Bible, the human manual, the foundation that all believers must read and live by. So let's get started. Today we are discussing how to know if you're sure you're going to heaven. I mean, that's a question a lot of people might have on their minds, even those who do not consider themselves Christians at all. I have listened to people throughout the years, as most recently as during the Christmas holidays, and they will say things like, I'm going to heaven because of my relationship with God, or other religions who may not believe in Christ but think they're going to heaven. I had a teacher ask a group of children in Sunday school class that if I sold my house and car and had a big garage sale and gave all the money to the church, would I get into heaven? And the children all answered no. Then she said, but what if I clean the church every day? I mow the yard. I keep everything neat and tidy. Would I then go to heaven? Again, the children said, no, not at all. Well, she continued, then how can I get to heaven? And someone in the back room said, you must be dead first. That joke, I just had to share that. I want to start off by asking you a question. You do not have an answer if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me get to a point. Are you a fan or follower of Jesus Christ our Lord? Nearly 247 million Americans today in the U.S., about 79.5% of adults, they identify themselves as Christians. But who is this Jesus that everyone is saying they are following? As a young boy, I was a huge Walter Payton fan, and those of you who know me know how much I love football. And as a child, I did everything Walter Payton would do because I figured if I did what he did, I can be as good as he was. But I just loved Walter, right? And I had his posters and everything in my lockers at school and on my walls at home. But at the end of the day, if I was to see Walter Payton on the street, and this is rest in peace, Walter, but he wouldn't have known who I was. Why? Because although I was a huge fan and I had all the trinkets, I didn't know Walter personally, and he didn't know me. See, in order for me to have that relationship with Walter Payton, I had to know him personally for him to recognize me, right? I mean, isn't that the way it should be, right? And in order for me to follow someone and to put my life in someone's hands and to follow them, wouldn't you want to have a personal relationship with him? Wouldn't it be important for you to believe at least that your personal relationship with Jesus should be intact? An old Bible story says, suffer me to be eaten by the beast through whom I can attain to God. I am God's wheat, and I am ground by the teeth of wild beasts that I may be found pure bread for Christ, said Ignatius of Antioch as he begged the Romans to prevent his martyrdom. He wanted to die for Christ, see. He was a man that put his whole life on the line for Jesus. What are you willing to put on the line for Jesus today? Our text that I'm going to discuss today is in Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 17. Here it discusses the passage of Scripture where the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you as we meditate through this, are you a fan or follower of Christ? I want to touch on Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. It restarted in verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do you say that I am?" They said, "Some of them people say that you're John the Baptist." He said, "Other people believe that you are Elijah, and others Jeremiah, prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter in verse 16 answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, it goes on to say that Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." You see, the most important question we face today is not a political or military or economic one, though these are significant. They pale in comparison to the most critical question you will ever answer. Who is Jesus Christ? You cannot afford to ignore him, because your response not only influences your character, but also it determines your eternal destiny. There are a lot of people out here calling themselves Christian, but I often wonder, do they really know what that means? See, Jesus said, to become one of my disciples, you must pick up your cross and follow him. See, how can you really follow someone you do not know, or you do not have a personal relationship with, or you do not fully understand him? I mean, do we follow just because our parents did that, right? It's politically correct to do those things. It makes us look nice among friends. But there's no middle ground when it comes to deciding who Jesus is. I mean, either he is the divine Son of God or he is a straight fraud. While many people believe his life began in Bethlehem, he existed way before that. Remember, God said, "Let us make our image." As a member of that Trinity, God is the eternal Son of God who has no beginning and no end. Jesus and his Father are linked together. So that is what is done to one is done to both. Therefore, if you reject Christ, you reject God. To say there must be other ways to heaven or other religions to get you to God means you are directly calling Jesus a liar. Now, it's not my opinion, right? Because my opinion doesn't matter. I'm just repeating what Jesus was quoted saying. I mean, if you go into John chapter 14, starting in verse 6, Jesus said that I am the way and the truth and the life. Watch this now. He continues by saying, no man, let me say that again in case you missed it. No one comes to the Father except through me. He did not say that I was one of the ways to heaven. He said no one gets to the Father except through me. So just because we have all this religion and all these Christians claiming to be followers, remember what he talked about, the broad road and the narrow road. There will be a lot of religious people on this broad road thinking they are going to heaven. But he said it's the narrow road that you should pay attention to, because he said very few will find it. So when you say that there are other ways to heaven, you're calling the Bible a fraud and Jesus the Christ a liar. Be careful. One day we all got to be judged, whether you believe it or not. The best way to discover the truth is to find out what the Bible says about him. Jesus once asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And when Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus explained that the Father has revealed this truth. Like Peter, we need the Lord's help to comprehend who Jesus is. That is why he tells us to knock in Matthew chapter 7. He gives us a choice to follow him or not. force us to do so. But it must be a choice. So now what? It's simply knowing God enough. The demons knew who God was. They knew who Jesus was. Remember when he was walking on the shore with the disciples and the possessed man? Remember the story? And they saw Jesus coming. No one had to announce who he was. They said, you're the Son of God. Why are you here? It's not your time. Because they knew the time he was coming back was at the end of the world. They was not expecting him. The demons knew who he was. Don't fool yourself. Just because you know who Jesus is and you attend an occasional church service without a personal relationship with him. Personal relationship. It's your personal relationship, not just with the church, but with him. That's the key. That's the key to becoming one of his disciples, being a part of the family. The Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding, but lean on the Holy Spirit, the counselor God provided for us to guide us, to whom Jesus promised for those who follow him. To be invited into the kingdom, you must be a follower, not a fan. You have to be invited to be a part of the wedding feast, right? To be a part of the family. On the eve of my wedding, I remember going to the store to get a few things. I just went and got some breakfast food down at the local grocery store. And there's a bagger I always talk to all the time. And he was giving me some nonsense about the Bears. He was a big Lions fan. And the Chicago Bears was having a bad season that year. And he was giving me the business. And I said, not today. You're not going to spoil my day today because I'm getting married today. And he congratulated me and said, I'm getting married today and nothing the Bears going to do is going to spoil my day. And we kind of laughed and chuckled, but I thought about that, right? I know this guy, and if I saw him on the street, I would know who he was. But I always, you know, what if he decided to come to my wedding without an invitation, right? I mean, I know of him. I mean, we talk from time to time on Saturdays when I go grocery shopping, but I don't have a personal relationship with him. So just because he shows up at my wedding and knocks on the door and says, I'd like to come in, my ushers would say, wait, hold on, you don't have an invitation. Oh, well, let me talk to Dwayne. He knows me. And I would say to him plainly, I don't know you like that to come up in here. This is my wedding. This is among family and friends, personal acquaintances. See, that's how it would be with people who claim to be Christians. Do they know Jesus? Right? Because you can't get into heaven without an invitation. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone will enter into the kingdom. Jesus said, many people would say, Lord, Lord. And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. See, what he meant was, you did not have a personal relationship with him. He might say, yes, I knew you. I saw you going to the church, and I saw you kind of having the cross around your neck, and you got the Christian symbol on the back of your car, right? And you got the tattoo on your arm. But at the end of the day, I never knew you. And what he means by that is, just because you go to church and claim to be a Christian and say you know who Jesus is not enough. Because without a personal relationship with him, you're just fooling yourself. He's going to say, I never knew you. Right. See, Jesus' ministry did not end when he ascended into heaven. He is still actively working on our behalf. But we have to knock so he can intercede for us. Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, making intercessions for us right now. He's living within believers through his Holy Spirit, see, meeting our needs and still revealing truth to us. He's preparing a place for us in heaven and will come for us so we can all be with him. Well, he's only coming to get those who are invited, who are invited. Because during his earthly ministry, the majority of the world took no notice of Jesus. And he was right there. Yet no one had a greater impact on this world than him. I mean, think of it this way. Through Christ, although Christ was born in a stable, he's the king, right? And people came all over to come worship him. His birth is the event that divides time into B.C. and A.D. It's not a coincidence. Although many people have hated him, Jesus' followers loved and worshipped him. He is both the author and the subject of the Bible. See, Jesus never wrote a song, but thousands have been praising him all over the world. He didn't travel that far from his home, but he influenced the entire world. See, the grave had no power over him. The devil couldn't deceive him. Death could not destroy him. Christ never built a house, but he's building one for each one of us that follows him up in heaven. The Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To the one who conquers, he says, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, in Revelation chapter 2. When we start to understand at first about Jesus, we're still infants, but it comes a time when we can't just keep being fans of Christ. We have to graduate, right? We have to graduate from milk to solid foods. We have to graduate from the bottle to the plate. We have to graduate from the stroller to walking on our own. We have to graduate from being just a fan of Jesus to being a follower and doing his will. Have you been listening to what the Spirit is saying to you today? If so, the time is coming when you have to promise yourself to give yourself an opportunity to at least knock and ask Jesus, if you are who you say you are, Father, I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me. I'm telling you, it works. You and the church that you are attending, right, ask him to reveal himself to you. And if you're not attending the church, find a local Bible-based church that you can start going to so you can learn more about this man called Jesus, the salvation that leads you right to God. Simply learning what the Bible says about Jesus is not enough. Once you've heard who he is and what he came to do, you must respond. So, what will you do with this Jesus, right? Will you continue to be a fan of his? To hear the truth and ignore it or reject it results in eternal separation from God. The only appropriate response is to believe in him and receive his offer of salvation and proclaim him as Lord. So let me ask you again, are you a fan or follower of Jesus Christ? Only you and God knows that answer. The key is, whatever your answer, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? In saying that, you know, at the end of the day, we have to decide whether we're going to be just fans or followers of Jesus Christ. Are we going to just have a bunch of religious symbols and go to church and do all these things, but we're going to still be out here not being followers, still sleeping with women we're not married to, still drinking and getting drunk and cussing and having the potty mouth and not raising your children to be godlike? Are we going to continue to just be fans? When do we become followers of Christ? When do we graduate to the next level? After a while, it looks foolish when a 6-year-old is still in a stroller. After a while, it looks foolish when a 10-year-old is still drinking a bottle of milk. When do we graduate as Christians? When do we continue to follow him versus playing the game of religion? Do we really love him like we say we do?
When do we sacrifice ourselves for him?
God wants us to live a successful Christian life. He desires us to dethrone ourselves from the center of our own lives and focus on him so that we succeed in everything we do. You can have that great life right here on earth. You don't have to wait to go to heaven by building your personal relationship with Christ. That's the way to heaven, instead of just a religious experience with him a few times a week, if that. Now, if your relationship with him is intact, with the evidence of a changed lifestyle, of repentance, and being obedient to him, then wonderful. But if not, then you consider doing so right now. I mean, if you're listening to my voice and you've actually made it through this program, all you have to do is be sincere with yourself. Even if you're being a every Sunday Christian, you're claiming to be a Christian, you know what you're doing secret, right? You know what you're doing in the shadows. And what I'm asking you today is, if you truly believe that Jesus is Lord, take the time to pray with me. The words are not as important as you truly believing that Jesus is Lord by totally surrendering to him, finally surrendering to him. This is not by mistake that you're listening to my voice. Will you bow your head with me and repeat after me? Dear Father, I want to be in a stronger relationship with you. I turn from my sins. Repeat it with me now. I turn from my sins, and I'm getting off the fence. I no longer will I expect to just be a lukewarm Christian. I accept your forgiveness, made possible through Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection. May I place my faith in you and trust in Jesus Christ alone. I receive him as my Savior and Lord. I want to follow you and serve you all the days of my life. Let today be the beginning of my new journey. In Jesus' name, my King, I pray. Amen. If you just stated that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family, or welcome back to the family. Now get yourself rooted in a Bible-based church, and not just attend, but become a part of the family. And start reading the Bible like a novel instead of like cliff notes. Take the time to graduate and become a follower of Jesus Christ. It'll change your life. Give yourself the opportunity to do just that. Thank you for tuning in to Holy Living Nutrition. I'm your host, Dwayne Bradfield. Until next time, God bless.
G-O-D, God, homie. K-Jo on the mic, Beef Fat on the track. G-O-D, I could have been dead somewhere in the streets, but now I'm a church boy. get choked up when I think about an innocent man.